Oliver Callan on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by It's For Women. You are not 9 to 5 and neither are we. Conveniently open online 365 days per year, 24 hours per day.
Now we're going to chat to an Irish director and animator who's just released a short film on Disney Plus. It's called Abe's Story. Let's have a little listen.
Gather round, my children. Let me tell a bedtime story to warm your innards.
That gives you a little flavour of Abe's Story, which is on Disney Plus, and it is for 16 plus. There's about 500,000 subscribers in Ireland, so there's a big, big audience in this country, and you should support your own. And one of those is Adam H. Stewart. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Not so bad. Congratulations.
Thank you very much.
It's a big day in your house, I'd say.
Oh, it is indeed.
And who's celebrating the release of this onto Disney Plus with you?
Well, my daughter Amy, my wife Deirdre, and my family, Beatrice, Charlie, Tracy, Sandra, everybody.
Brilliant, because you have worked a long time in this industry, so it's always nice to get these breakout moments.
Exactly. It's like such a huge honour. It's something that never really happens. So I'm mind blown by it, really.
Well, tell us about Abe's Story. It's a beautiful animation. We've been enjoying it here. But tell people what it's about and how it looks.
Well, it's inspired by shadow puppets. So it's kind of done in a 2D style. And it really came about when I discovered that I'm related to Bram Stoker. I'm kind of giving away the twist in the film on my mother's side. And I wanted to do a documentary on it. And I was working at a company called Snackbox. And we've done a documentary, other documentaries. And I thought, well, with Gary Walsh, who's the co-writer, that this will make a good short animated film. So that's kind of where it came about. That's the genesis of it.
It has that kind of pop-up book look about it, and it's beautifully narrated, and the voices and the music is excellent. But it's properly spooky, though, isn't it?
It is properly spooky. It's 16 plus on Disney, which I think is a bit harsh.
I think so, because
it is animation. It's a bit of parental guidance. I'd probably watch it first before I showed my kids. But yeah, the whole Bram Stoker world, it's really what inspired Dracula, which isn't what a lot of people would think. Bram Stoker worked in London at the Lyceum Theatre and travelled all over the US. And there's all little bits of that make their way into Dracula.
Yeah.
Which was a kind of fascinating thing for me.
It goes into the Wild West at one point, which is...
Exactly. There's American characters in Dracula, and there's kind of a lot of influences from around the world from his childhood that all kind of fed into the story.
Well, Henry Irving, who the kind of monster he has to work for in the Lyceum Theatre, has to be an inspiration.
Yeah, and Henry Irving is the actor's actor. He was the first actor ever to win a knighthood, and there's a statue to him in London.
A scary one, exactly.
The two of them were as thick as thieves, so Bram Stoker really managed the front of house, and Henry Irving was the star. And it was kind of fascinating relationship between them, and he kind of, I think, inspired Dracula.
It's great.
As a character.
No, you've kept it Irish. When did you make this exactly?
I made it in 2019, so it took about 2 years.
That's how long it takes.
Yeah, it took a long time, and I kind of locked myself into an attic in Donnycarney, and made it on two laptops, which is really funny because one of them would be on the table, and it's real homespun. I had two character animators, David Carey and Peter Miller, and then really good acting talent. But all the animation then is myself that was done on two laptops.
Oh, that's extraordinary because it's world class. It really is technically astonishing, really.
Yeah.
And now that it was a
kind of cloth of madness.
Good madness, though. You worked as I said, film for a very long time. You must have been very, very young. Were you involved? You couldn't have been involved in Braveheart all those years ago.
I was. I turned 21 on the set of Braveheart.
Did you? Wow.
Working down in Curra. So I did costume. So I studied fashion at NCAD and then worked in costume, worked on another film called Space Truckers, went off to Italy. So I was in Milan for a while, still doing costume, and then came back to Ireland and worked in Milano's So I would bump into people from college, and they were like, "I thought you were in Milan, not Milano's." So that was
you're supposed to be film, not pizza. Yeah, exactly.
And then I went to Los Angeles and I studied production design at AFI, and was over there for a long time, and came back to Ireland because I missed home, missed the family. Mm-hmm. And worked on my first show here was Penny Dreadful.
And oh, yeah. Good shows you're involved that, in. You did
Penny,
the art
the
department.
Vampire thing again.
Yes, I
can
so see a trend.
Penny Dreadful, and then worked in Brown Bag, and then did Abe's Story. I'd been over in Prague working.
So you did production design, kind of the props and set dressing that people would know, set design and all that. Your brother, tell us about your brother Glenn, because he was really inspirational for you in terms of moving towards animation.
Yeah, I was working at a company called 1K Studios in Los Angeles doing production design for DVD menus. So if you've ever watched like Band of Brothers or The Sopranos or any of those on DVD, the menus that came up were what this company did.
Wow.
And I would do production design, so I'd go and get props. And my brother kind of saw that was a bit of a dead end, and he was like, "You need to get more into animation." So he really got me into After Effects, was my first, package, and then 3D Studio Max. And he was a huge influence on how I worked and the kind of work I did, which is why it was so tragic. He passed away before the film came out. He passed away in 2017, unexpectedly. So it's a real dedication to him. And there's a credit to him, and there's like a gravestone to him in the film.
Wow.
Kind of like a little hidden in there. But I'm delighted. I mean, it's so good to have it out there and see people see it.
Yeah.
Kind of,
was he your older brother? Yeah. Big brother Glenn.
Exactly. We're like twins. We're the Irish twins. Yeah. Everyone thought we were either twins or a couple.
That's how
we were so close. We lived together, worked together, shopped together, and did all the things that brothers do.
It's 7 years ago. We can hear in your voice it still weighs heavily on you.
Oh, completely. But I think for anybody who's going through bereavement, it's something that lessens but never goes away. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a good thing. If you think about somebody, then they're still alive. You know, they don't ever go away. The influences never go away in your life.
And particularly when he's involved in this film in your head and how you put it together. I mean, that keeps him there, doesn't it, for you?
I mean, really, it was part, I only realized afterwards, but like, to do something on your own of this size that takes 2 years, it was really part of the grieving process in many ways. It was kind of like you throw yourself into something and you're just working on that, working on it obsessively. Really, to get it finished, because I don't think I could do it. It's such a huge amount of work. And it's
something had to drive you, yeah. In the graveyard, you have the headstones are tributes to many relatives.
Yeah, a woman called Olive Fleetwood, who was kind of like my second mother growing up. I'd always go around to her house after school, and then to my uncle who passed away, and my cousin Karen. So there's little hidden messages. And there's good things as well. There's a ship that's called Jackson, and Jack designed the logo of Abe's Story. I know him from L.A. He was a really good guy. And there's also another ship called Deezer, which is a name my wife won't let me call her, because her name's Dee. So I would nickname her Deezer, but I called the ship Deezer, so I got away with that.
It's nice. Animation's handy. You can put all these little hidden messages in there. You have kind of done this over the years in other films, haven't you? Tell us about Wonder Woman.
Before I made Abe's Story, I was working in a company called UPP in Prague.
Yeah.
And I was set up in the job with somebody I knew from AFI. And, which is a huge, I was working on Wonder Woman, which is this huge film that, Patty Jenkins directed. And Patty Jenkins was my year at AFI, and they gave me the job of making a tractor. So it was like a 1910 Massey Ferguson that's in the film that nobody knows is there. It drags, the plane that the hero's in, and, it's got guns on it. And I was in Prague making a tractor, telling people that I knew the director Patty Jenkins. And of course, they all thought I was nuts because they were like making a tractor, you know, the director.
Sounds like lies.
I was in LA and I met Patty Jenkins at a reunion and I was telling her that I'd made a tractor for Wonder Woman and she's gone to the tractor in my film. She thought I was nuts. But I know it's there, that tractor.
There's
there.
A vintage Massey Ferguson built in 3D by an Irish fella in Wonder Woman.
In Wonder Woman, in Prague.
Perfectly normal day.
Perfectly normal day.
I'm sure your dad is very proud of you now. What did he want you to do initially?
He always thought I'd make a great hairdresser.
It's a very specific trade to be pointing your direction.
And he had a great... It's actually a very solid theory that a hairdresser can always do jobs on the side, so it doesn't need a regular job if they don't want one. So they can somebody always needs their hair done. Whereas, I'm working on Tim Burton's Wednesday down in Ashford at the moment, and it's crazy hours. So it's like, you know, I'm up at 5, go across the city, and, you know, it's irregular. You don't know what you're going to get. So my dad is like, you would make a great hairdresser. I'm disappointed you never did
He's
it.
Disappointed. But, even when you're working on a Tim Burton project.
Yes, exactly.
That's season 2 that's been shot here. What are you doing on Wednesday? On Wednesday, the series, we should point out.
Of course, it's Wednesday today. I'm a previs artist. So I do two things. I do LiDAR scanning, which is laser scanning, where you go out and you create a 3D model of the set, and then you use that to create previs. So if anyone's seen the show, it's this, you know, Nevermore, which is the main location.
Wednesday's a character from the Addams Family, yes, and it's her story.
Yes,
she's in school.
Exactly.
Yes, okay. But there's lots of visual effects.
Lots of visual effects. So what I do is I create shots that they then use to either bring in the real world into the visual effects world, or else is animated by big companies in Canada, NPC and, you know, Eyeline and all these big companies.
And it's hard to even spot sometimes, isn't it, the real stuff from the animated in these shows?
It's amazing how much animation is and visual effects there is. I mean, this, people wouldn't really appreciate how much is changed afterwards. Mm-hmm. You know, everything is an illusion.
Tim Burton would definitely appreciate your job because he started out as an animator.
Yeah, and like the biggest
The Lion King and all that. Yeah,
yeah, and the biggest thrill is when you watch it on Disney Plus. They suggest other films that you might watch that you might like, and you know, one of them is Nightmare Before Christmas.
You click on Abe's story, which is your animator.
Exactly.
That's
the biggest.
Yeah. It's very Tim Burton. Do you get notes from him on your work?
No, I get notes through my boss from him.
Okay.
So I am, you know, I don't deal with them on a daily basis, but, you know, they definitely trickle down. If it makes it in what, you know, the whole thing is the cut. If it makes it in the cut, it means he's seen it and he thinks it's okay. So that's how you know.
That's the only way. Yeah, you might sneak in a Massey Ferguson in there as well.
I know. Don't put that idea in my head.
what is ultimately the dream? Although today, having your own short film, fully animated and everything that you made with all the heart that's gone into it on Disney Plus is enough for a lot of people. Do you have further dreams?
Yeah, I do have further dreams. I edited a live-action film that's on Amazon for the co-writer is a guy called Gary Walsh, and we've done a couple of things together. Yeah. And he directed a film that is live-action that we shot down in Gorey called Wickedly Evil. So we have
Wickedly
a kind
Evil.
Of Wickedly Evil. It was
Lances
called
horror.
Bad Things in the Middle of... Yeah, I know, exactly. More horror stuff. So we have the kind of dream of doing a American kind of sequel to that. So that would be live action.
With a budget and so on. Yeah, but you did well.
Yes, exactly.
You made that for 50 grand, I'm told.
Yes, even if it was that.
It was
made for practically nothing.
Yeah, nothing.
In a house in the winter in Gorey where everyone got COVID. that was really good fun. But I was editor on that. So on the remake, I'll be a co-director. And I have a sequel for Abe's Story as well that I'm kind of in the works, but I'm building up for that one.
It's good to have the next thing. But listen, a pleasure to talk to you. Adam H. Stewart, you did the concept art, set design, storyboards, 3D modelling, animation, lighting, compositing, VFX graphic design editor and also director of Abe's Story, out now on Disney Plus. Congratulations, enjoy the buzz.
Thank you very much. Talk to you soon. I appreciate the call.